I think nothing is more discomforting than to see a child who was meeting all the milestones, doing everything they were, and then suddenly a family and the child has been put in the situation where they may potentially lose the child.
Welcome to Let's Talk About Life, a podcast brought to you by LifePath. Donation can be a complicated subject, but it is really all about life. Spend a few minutes as we unravel the complexities of donation. Let's talk about life.
There are episodes of Let's Talk About Life that I will remember forever. Our last episode is one of them. If you recall, we had a conversation with Ryan Dornan about his daughter, Kinsley, who was almost two when she tragically lost her life in a car accident. The Dornan family's selfless decision to allow Kinsley to be a tissue donor has impacted and made a difference in people's lives and continues to do so. This episode of Let's Talk About Life reflects on those gifts and how they've impacted the lives of others. Hi, you're listening to episode 152 of Let's Talk About Life. I'm your host, Colleen Gerber, kidney recipient and LifeBank staff member. We have two extraordinary guests on this episode. Joining me is Dr. Shenwaz Emdani, a pediatric cardiologist at the Cleveland Clinic, to discuss pediatric transplantation. And we will also talk with one of the families he follows, Angela Voisad, whose 16-month-old daughter, Bella, is a heart transplant recipient. Thank you both for joining me on this episode.
And thank you so much for having us.
Hey, Colleen, thank you so much for inviting me. It's really such an honor to talk about such a beautiful soul and certainly an incredible journey that I'm sure will inspire many who listen to this podcast.
Dr. Emdani, would you please share for our listeners' benefit a little bit about yourself, your background, and your role at the Cleveland Clinic?
Yeah, thanks, Colleen, for the question. I am the section head for pediatric heart function and transplant here at Cleveland Clinic Children's. To give you a little bit of my journey, I did my cardiology fellowship at Wayne State University in Michigan. And then, you know, during that time, I was very moved by a child that I was taking care of at that time who had advanced heart failure. Now, ultimately, she got a heart transplant and she ended up following me in my clinic. And she inspired me. And I wanted to do cardiovascular imaging, ultimately ended up doing a heart failure transplant fellowship at Washington University in St. Louis. And then since then, I've been here at Cleveland Clinic Children's. And over the years, I've expanded my role. I started off and was interested in mechanical circulatory support or ventricular assist devices. So I was the director of that for a while. And then, you know, I gravitated toward preventing and managing heart failure in some of the most critically challenging populations. So I'm also the director of the Frontier Fontan Clinic, which takes care of single ventricle heart disease patients, and also the director for the Pediatric Cardio-Oncology Clinic, which takes care of cancer survivors and patients who have undergoing, you know, active cancer therapy and have heart muscle disease or heart failure. And so that's sort of a little bit of my role, I think, specific to heart transplant. Big passion of mine, both clinically and academically, is to make sure that we continue to improve the lives of children with advanced heart failure and their time and survival after a heart transplant, mainly focusing on reducing morbidities, reducing hospitalizations, and improving their survival so they can have meaningful memories with their loved ones and continue to shine as Bella will do. And I'm so excited to sort of sit back and enjoy her journey as she goes through life and becomes this incredible individual. And again, incredibly honored to be a small part of her journey.
Wow. How impressive. And what a journey.
Yeah. As I said, you know, I think I followed my passion and I'm so fortunate that life has led me here. It really, as I tell my colleagues, it really is a calling for me. It's not a job. And I'm incredibly proud to be a part of their journeys.
Oh, that's so wonderful. You brought up pediatric transplant. It really is different than adult transplant. You know, so much more complicated, it seems, with children.
You're absolutely correct, Colleen. Pediatric organ transplantation, everything from the indications to the scarcity of donors, to the transplant outcomes, to the challenges that we face are uniquely different than what we see in the adult population. Now, to give you some perspective, when we're talking about pediatric heart transplantation, we have, I think, around 500 pediatric heart transplants that happen nationwide every year here in the U.S., and the numbers are astronomically higher for those adults with end-stage heart failure. The thing that separates us, most importantly, is the limited support mechanisms we have to rescue those with advanced heart failure. So to give you a concrete example, for Bella, one of the things that we successfully deployed to keep her alive till she got her heart was a left ventricular assist device, which is a mechanical pump that allows to pump blood more efficiently to the body. We have limited options there. The adults now have one of the more innovative VADs, if you will, and they have superior outcomes with that that resides in the chest. And unfortunately, we don't have those mechanisms right now or those resources available to us. And it's shameful that we have to rely on limited resources to get our kids successfully to a transplant. So there are unique challenges all along the spectrum when you're managing a child with advanced heart failure.
Yeah, I can see the challenge there. You brought up Bella, and what do you remember about her case? She was a very sick little girl.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. So as a heart failure, heart transplant doc, whenever you get a call about a child who was previously healthy and is now in critical cardiogenic shock with the potential for multi-organ failure, that really gets their antennas up. I think nothing is more discomforting to know than to see a child who was previously doing, you know, meeting all the milestones, doing everything they were, and then suddenly the family and the child has been put in the situation where they may potentially lose the child. As much as we try to dissociate the clinical scenario from the emotional impact that the family is going through, I think that's where, as a pediatric heart transplant doc, you have to have that level of empathy to understand that the family is going through probably some of the most critical phases of their life. So for Bella, you know, when we got the call and when our team first became aware of her, we found out that she was a previously healthy child who was now in the, essentially first in the emergency room, then at an outside hospital, and had a sudden decompensation and now required an ECMO machine or an extracorporeal membrane oxygenation machine. Just a fancy way of saying that you have on a heart-lung machine, which means that your heart and your lung need support. Mm-hmm. So you have two organs that have failed. And then, you know, critically, then you worry about what happened to the brain. Was there a period of low flow? What's happening to the other organs, the liver and the kidneys? And so we are trying to make all these calculations. And those situations are tough. So our first instinct, you know, one of the things that is great about the is with our team here at the Cleveland Clinic Children's, is that we have a multidimensional, highly specialized team that has dealt with situations like this before. So first instinct is, if the child is stable, then the first thing we should do is safely transport the child to our hospital so we can do our own independent assessment. I think it is very important for us to give every child a chance at life. And I think that's the one thing that we are all proud of as a team. I think we will do everything in our power to make sure that every child gets that fighting chance. And Bella was a fighter from the beginning. I'll tell you that when she came in, she was in a critical situation. And so the first thing we do is we try to stabilize and make a scientific assessment, objective assessment of her brain, her livers, her kidneys. And two things became obvious. A, that she's resilient and that she's not showing any of the other sort of signs of end organ injury, which is good. And then secondly, that her heart was not going to recover. I think that's very important to assess and figure out early on.
Yes.
Because you want to ultimately get them to a heart transplant. And to do that, knowing the wait times in Ohio are so long, and the fact that there is significant organ scarcity in this region, we wanted to make sure that we were able to support her and get her back and rehab her. And we had done this before, so there's a lot of confidence in how we were able to do that. We had a game plan, you know, at our institution. The one thing that we emphasize is that we always have a plan A, then you have a plan B, then you have a plan C. And so we had all discussed the different scenarios that would occur once you take her off the heart-lung machine and then put her on a Berlin left ventricular assist device. And fortunately, when we transitioned her to a Berlin left ventricular assist device, she actually responded very positively to that.
Oh, wonderful. And,
So it was a challenging time. But I was just grateful. We meet regularly with Bella, you know, coming here to the hospital and seeing her parents. Her parents are absolutely amazing individuals. We're so generous in their understanding and trusting us with the life of the person that they love the most. That's such a big responsibility on our shoulders, and we don't take that lightly. We want to really do everything we can, and we were transparent with them about the situation, gave them our options, and they trusted us, and fortunately, things worked out.
Yeah, and plus they have other children, you know. And
that's right.
So, amazing family.
Right.
You brought up that in this region, there's a lack of pediatric organ donors. Do you want to speak to that and just about organ donation in general?
And I share this with all our families. I say that one of the most difficult times as a parent, being a parent myself, but not knowing the emotional impact that, you know, loss of a child can have on you, I can tell you that it's one of the most generous acts that a parent can do is to provide or have the emotional capacity during those trying times and give the gift of life to those who need them. It is important to give these children a shot at life. And unfortunately, I'm seeing that at least in my experience, the rates of organ donation are going down, at least in Ohio. And our patients are waiting much longer. Now, we've been fortunate that with the medical therapies and the scientific advances, we're able to keep them alive for a lot longer. But I worry that if this trend continues and we have lower organ donation, then we may start losing children, which is what we don't want. All these kids deserve to create those lasting memories with their family.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Understandably, to lose a child is probably the hardest thing or anybody does go through. Obviously, doesn't make the loss any less traumatic.
Right.
However, it gives some comfort to know that the child is helping others and living on in a different way.
That's right. You know, one of the things that impresses me when I hear our donor families talk and you know, some of them decide to go and see the recipient families and connect over, you know, after they have grieved, obviously. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a different grieving process and a different time they take to get to that point. And we respect all of that. I think I have seen it gives their life some meaning, an important closure, meaning that their child is able to help, you know, give others the gift of life. It's such an impactful thing. And I salute you, Colleen, and the, you know, Life Bank for helping us and all the work that you all do to make sure, because that is critically important. We couldn't do the work that we were doing here at Cleveland Clinic Children's, or for that matter, anywhere, any other children's hospital in this country, if we didn't have high quality, appropriate organ donors and these amazing families who are willing to give other kids the gift of life. So, you know, a heartfelt gratitude and thank you to all of you and most importantly, these families who are making this generous gift of life towards the kids that need them.
These families are phenomenal, and the work we do is hard, but we know the outcome is joyous and miraculous. And, you know, Bella is a wonderful example of that. I mean, how fulfilling for you to watch her go from near death to running around and being, you know, a normal, almost 2-year-old.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, you know, as the Cleveland Clinic Children's Institute, we are, you know, blessed in many ways that people across Northeast Ohio, you know, regionally, nationally, and internationally trust us with the lives of their loved ones. And, you know, it's hard. And, you know, there's a certain amount of people always ask me, you know, has a heart transplant on, you know, what's the emotional burden that you guys carry when you Because we are attached, you know, if you ask Bella's parents, and I'm sure they would agree with this, you know, she's part, the day we welcomed her at Cleveland Clinic Children's, she became a part of her family. Mm-hmm. And we care for her family, and we guard her family to the best of her abilities. And we take this very seriously. It's not a 9-to-5 job or a weekday job or a weekend job. We go home and we connect with these families. We think about them, and we come the next day thinking about how we can make their life a little bit better. You know, asking about how their day is going, and if things are not going well, maybe sitting down with them. And you know, this is what energizes me. I think the ultimate, when we see them grow, you know, now Bella has this incredible personality, and it's just rewarding. Now we just get to sit back and enjoy. And, you know, for our listeners, for our infant heart transplants, you know, the median survival is now 25 years, which means at least, you know, I expect that I will see Bella go through high school and go through graduations and go to college and keep this beautiful heart that she has right now and go through the journeys of life and form so many more memories. And nothing is more rewarding. Nothing, absolutely nothing is more rewarding for me than to sit back and enjoy and get to see who Bella is going to be. And she's going to do great things. She's already inspiring, and she's inspiring me to be a better physician. She inspires all of us. And it's incredible. The power of that, to see that, is incredible for me as a physician. It's very humbling. And I told, you know, Bella's Marita, we tell every family, we're incredibly honored to be a small part of a real journey, because her journey starts again.
Angela, I'm going to switch the conversation over to you now. Can you share with our listeners a little bit about Bella's journey and why she needed a heart transplant?
So Bella, normal pregnancy, and we brought her home. She was a normal baby. We didn't notice that anything was wrong with Bella until she was almost 2 months old, when she had super rapid breathing. And so we ended up taking her to Akron Children's to find out what was going on. Once we had gotten there, they took an image of her heart and let us know how enlarged it really was and the condition that she was in. We were so close to losing her that if we would have waited another hour, she probably would not have made it. So once we figured out all of that, they told us that we needed to get her to Cleveland immediately because most likely she would need a heart transplant. So we were transferred to Cleveland, I think 4 days after we had got to Akron, and got to Cleveland, met with the team, and figured out that our best option to save Bella's life would be to list her on the heart transplant list.
And how did you feel when you heard those words? I mean, nobody imagines a transplant at 2 months old.
No, and it was just crazy to go through that because we have three other daughters perfectly healthy. And to be in that hospital and them telling us, you know, pray for your daughter to make it, you know, to get her stable enough to get to Cleveland. It was just like, how did we get here? What went wrong that Bella is so sick?
Yeah.
So that's where we kind of switched to, okay, tell us how this happened to Bella.
Yeah. What did they say? What did they find out about her heart?
We did genetic testing and found out that me and Dad were both carriers of a chromosomal defect that we did not know. And they both met on Bella. That's why the other children had no issues, but they both met on Bella. So Bella was the one that got the dilated cardiomyopathy.
Oh my God, that is so crazy.
It is. It is. And we had no idea. You know, you don't get genetic testing as a child or an adult, so you don't know what you're actually carrying. And then you meet someone and have a child with them and didn't realize they're a carrier also. So it was just crazy to take it all in and realize that we were carriers of something we had no idea that we even were.
Well, but that shows you how far we've progressed. I mean, I can tell you that genetic testing was not an option, you know, certainly when I was growing up.
Right. So thank God we had that, you know, to get us some answers of how Bella had gotten this condition.
Right, right. Oh my goodness. What are the chances? Wow.
It was a whirlwind. I tell you, it was crazy just to take it all in and be there and her be so sick and realize, you know, all of this was happening that we just had no idea.
To your little baby. Oh my goodness.
Yes.
How quickly did she receive a transplant? How did that work out?
They listed her, I believe it was April 1st, we got on the list, and then they told us, okay, it's going to be a marathon, so it can be a, you know, up to a year that you could wait, so just get ready for the long haul, because it's going to be a marathon. So we did, and we just got ready. We made a brand new routine at home that I was with Bella every day during the day. The kids were at school. I would come home from Bella. We would do normal evenings, homework, dinner, and things like that. So that was our new routine every day, is Bella in the mornings, the rest of the kids in the afternoon. So we just had to make it work, you know, as we could with all the kiddos. And we did. I mean, everyone sacrificed in the family, but we were able to make it work and make sure that Bella knew that we were there and that she wasn't alone.
And what life-saving measures did Bella receive?
Yes, LVAD first, and then they told us that she would have to go on the Berlin. So we ended up going on Berlin, and she was on Berlin for a while.
For our listeners, can you explain what a Berlin is?
So the Berlin is a device that pretty much does all of the work of the heart to keep the patient alive until transplant. So it has these two cannulas that go into Bella, and then it has a pump that literally pumps in and out. Like, you can see the blood move in and out of the Berlin while she's attached to this machine.
Oh my goodness. And she was on that how long?
I think we were on that for 4 months.
Okay.
And then we finally received a call September 18th that they had received a heart, perfect match for Bella, and she went into surgery the next day on the 19th.
Do you remember receiving the call that there was a heart available for Bella?
Yes, it was a Monday, and the Browns were getting ready to play Monday Night Football, and my phone rang, and it was a 216 number, so I figured it was just an update about Bella. So I answer, and she tells me that they found it. It's a perfect match, and she would go into surgery the next day. So it was just overjoyed and just so many emotions, gratefulness for sure, and just knowing that she was going to be okay. And we had finally made it. The day had finally came that we had been praying for.
Oh my goodness. I can't even imagine the range of emotions.
Oh, yes, honey.
Oh my goodness.
It was a lot.
And in all of that emotion and all of that joy, did the thought strike you about the donor and the donor family?
Yes, definitely. That was a hard one to just process, because we knew that is what it was going to take, was another child losing, you know, their life. But it was just a lot to take in, because you don't want that, you know, but you want your child to live.
Right. That's natural.
So it's a hard predicament, you know, but I knew every day going up there that our wait for her was nothing compared to what a family is going to have to decide to do to keep my child alive.
And do you know anything about her donor?
We do not know anything about her donor. I want to sit down with my family and write just a thank you letter, just pouring out all my gratitude to them for the sacrifice and the decision that they had to make in such a terrible time. If they want to reach back out, awesome. If not, at least we told you what your decision did for our family, because we can never thank you enough.
Yeah. I've talked to so many recipients, and being a recipient myself, thank you is so minimal compared to
the feelings of
gratitude you have. You know, this little girl gets to grow up.
Exactly. You gave her a life she would not have had if it wasn't for your decision to donate.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about Bella now. She's 16 months. Is that how old she is?
Yes, ma'am, she is.
And so what does that look like? What does 16 months look like on a heart recipient?
Oh, man, she has just thrived since the new heart. She went to rehab for 2 months after got discharged from hospital. A lot of rehab, a lot of PT and OT, but then we got her home right before Christmas, and she has just taken off. She is walking all over the house and eating and drinking like she should, starting to say words. It's amazing to see this child and what she has went through, and now to have her home and her be so full of life and get to the point where you could look at her and not think that she went through anything is absolutely amazing.
That's miraculous right there.
It is. It's a miracle.
It really, truly, truly is. You see this little girl who, like you said, looks like she hasn't been through a thing, and yet she's been through more than most.
At all.
Yeah.
Yes, she has. She is a fighter.
How is she with her siblings?
Oh, well, she has to try and keep up with them. So now we're trying to do a little run, which is just the cutest thing ever, but they just love her to death. I mean, there's just so much love having her home and the time we had missed, and you just want to soak it all in, you know, and it's amazing to watch all the girls just be together and play together, and just knowing that we were so close to not having that. But now we do.
Absolutely. Oh, that's so wonderful. What a joyous conversation. And is there anything, Angela, you want to add?
Just thank you to Dr. Andami and the whole team that treated my baby so well. I'm over grateful and just so thankful for everything they did to keep her here.
Well, I think it's a special place, and especially when it's a young child, I think everybody understands what's at stake, and everybody works together to do what they can to have an outcome like we have.
So, they sure do.
Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am. I believe if we were somewhere else that she would not have made it if she did not have the care from Cleveland Clinic.
Angela, they're amazing. Thank you so much. We appreciate you sharing Bella's story, and I look forward to meeting you and her one day. I can't wait to see her.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for having me on to talk about just her amazing story and the importance of organ donation and what it can really do, because it is amazing.
Absolutely. Dr. Amdani, thank you so much for sharing your time with us and your knowledge. I'm humbled. I appreciate you very much. And thank you.
Thank you so much for taking out your time and for the work that you do, honestly. As I said, it's such an important partnership that you have with all of us. And I applaud for all the work that you, obviously, as an organ recipient, like, you're doing a phenomenal job being at the front lines and being at the sort of being a key stakeholder in this process. So thank you so much for your time. And I hope we get the opportunity to connect again.
Oh, I do too. I do too.
Thank you for listening to Let's Talk About Life. If you have questions about today's podcast, reach out to us at info@lifebank.org. Take a few minutes to do something heroic and register to be an organ donor by saying yes at lifebank.org. Literally, someone's life is depending on it.